Hello everyone, I'm Leo Bartarella with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by our guest as we discuss the key to successfully standardizing a surgical PAC program. We are thrilled to be joined by a fantastic leader from Cardinal Health who will dive into our discussion on standardization and PAC programs today. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce our guest, Matt Bruggeman. Matt is the Director of Solutions Development for the Presource Products and Services business, where he is focused on delivering insight-driven, procedure-based solutions that enable providers to drive efficiencies in patient care. Matt has a background developing and commercializing medical products and services within the U.S. and abroad, and has been mainly focused on the perioperative space in his time with Cardinal Health. In his current role, Matt is working to leverage data analytics to improve providers' procedural supply chain efficiency. Prior to his work with Presource, he led several global product businesses for Cardinal Health. Before Cardinal Health, Matt held roles in R&D and marketing in the orthopedic device industry. He has a degree in mechanical engineering from the University of Notre Dame. Matt, welcome to the podcast today. We are thrilled to have you join us.
Thanks, Leo. Good to be here.
Fantastic. I want to start our conversation today by asking you to provide a bit of context and walk us through why hospitals and health systems are so focused on standardization today.
You know, standardization is a topic that we hear a lot about. It can mean a lot of different things to many different customers. And in general, you know, we find that as costs continue to rise and reimbursements decline, we see providers coming to us looking for new ways to control expenses really without affecting the quality of care. One of those strategies that started to gain a good deal of momentum, as I mentioned, is standardization. And really, from our lens, that can happen on two levels. First, we see standardization really targeting individual products that are picked off the shelf. And then, you know, speaking about another form of standardization, really looking at the products inside of a provider's surgical PACs. PACs are really good target because operating rooms and procedure areas like the GI lab, for example, can be a big part of providers' overall expenses. And PACs are often used in these areas to simplify and streamline picking products for a procedure. So when you can consistently put the same highly utilized items into your PACs, you can save on labor efficiency and supply costs. We've seen significant advantages when you standardize items inside surgical PACs in particular. When you do that, really then it opens the door to be able to potentially standardize PAC usage across your hospital or health system. So a lot of advantages here. Really, when you think about it, the first one, quite obviously, is just leveraging purchasing power, letting you reach potentially higher rebate tiers on the products you're using. And, you know, somewhat related to that is decreasing SKU count, which is also top of mind with many of our customers. Really, the benefit there is around saving on labor, because at the end of the day, you know, your clinicians are handling fewer products. And an added benefit there is it's allowing you to just free up shelf space, which can drive higher volume with fewer products and ultimately, you know, helping save even more. Finally, you know, one of the other advantages we really see is all the product waste that you can eliminate. And at the end of the day, helping clinicians work more efficiently as they spend less time dealing with products and more time focused on the patient.
Thanks, Matt. And on the flip side, what happens if you don't standardize surgical PACs? What can get in the way of a successful standardization program?
That's a really good question. You know, in the past, inventory management was mostly done manually and could take a lot of time. And because of that, trying to standardize products both on the shelf and in PACs was tough to do. Not standardizing your PACs or failing to see standardization efforts through can lead to a lot of variation in both clinical practice and choice of supplies, which ultimately can increase both product and labor costs. We've seen attempts to standardize PACs fail for a few common reasons. First, many projects fail because of little or no time on the hospital's part to dedicate to the process. Another reason we've seen engagements fail is that it can be difficult to get the right people together to agree and discuss on a standardization strategy. In particular, you really want to have clinical buy-in early to make any standardization effort work. You obviously don't want materials management to go it alone. And if you involve clinicians from the very beginning and make sure they have a clear voice in how formularies are put together, then ultimately they'll be more willing to stick with the program once you put it in motion. And I think that's the key. And then really a third reason we see engagements fail is that the large data sets involved can be difficult to work with. So for example, a single PAC can contain dozens and dozens of products. And, you know, trying to understand and make the best use of all that data without technology can be next to impossible. And really, you know, that's why data science is so critical to standardizing a surgical PAC program. I can't overemphasize the value of quality purchasing and utilization data that's easy for providers to access and work with. You know, it's key to identifying which products and components are candidates for standardization. I'd say as a rule of thumb, good data analytics can be used to improve your PAC program in a few areas. First, you can ensure your PAC programs align with your facility's case volume and mix. And when it is, you can improve both efficiency and your bottom line. I'd say second, it allows you to conduct side-by-side PAC comparisons to identify potential cost savings and standardization opportunities. And actually, through our online PAC Manager tool, you can access data around your PAC program at any time to help you pinpoint those standardization decisions. Finally, I'd say, you know, adding picked or off-the-shelf items to PACs can increase efficiency and lower costs. And finally, you know, really identifying which PACs can be used for the same procedures across your health system is another good way you can use data analytics to improve your PAC program. So, you know, to summarize, I think in a broader sense, you can use analytics to accurately align inventory levels with utilization history, which can lower inventory carrying costs and improve efficiency. And overall, having access to really good data enables faster and more accurate decision making. And that can get you to valuable insights at a faster rate than resource-intensive engagements.
And I'm sure a question you hear all the time is, how do I start? So maybe you can walk us through how you get started standardizing items inside surgical PACs.
You know, that is a great question. And frankly, you know, that is a lot of the interest we receive is just, you know, where to start. So I'd say really the first step we recommend is standardizing inside your PACs. Is to get to your product formularies, which really help highlight common products for standardization across your facilities by identifying where there are differences and similarities within a specific product category. So I'll get to an example a little bit later, but you could start by standardizing individual products that are on the shelf. And once you have a handle on these, you can apply those results to standardize those components inside your PACs. And that's really the order that we recommend, first on the shelf and then in the PAC. To do that, by analyzing purchasing data, you'll have new insights that'll help begin to answer questions about where and how to standardize items within your PACs. Now, with any standardization effort, it's important to ensure buy-in across all stakeholders, like we mentioned earlier, particularly including clinicians in that process. We've seen success with customers that start small with one or two service lines to demonstrate a strong measurable impact, and then build from there based on those wins. And, you know, I think that's an important point, so I'll dig into that a little bit further. By starting small, I don't mean standardizing a C-section kit and then moving on to a total knee kit and then a laparotomy kit, for example. To be as efficient as possible, you really want to focus on one service line at a time. So, for example, you could start with abdominal surgery, then move to labor and delivery, then urology, and then orthopedics as an example. So I'd say once you've identified service lines to focus on really as a first step, you can then apply analytics to identify which PAC components are good candidates to standardize across those various product categories.
Now, moving on, once you decided which component categories to focus on, how do you begin reducing variation within them?
You know, we see countless examples of supply variation. And as a result, I think there's many tactics to consider to really reduce that variation. You know, each component category will involve different stakeholders, and the process can pan out differently depending on the component or components in consideration. So for instance, an example of supply variation might be having multiple vendors for surgical blades, for example, which can develop over time based on clinical preference. But really by standardizing to a single vendor or, you know, maybe two or three vendors, you'll reduce variation, which can save time and cut costs by leveraging the economies of scale and really making it simpler to procure supplies and ultimately reduce waste. So there's a few steps that we recommend to reduce that variation within surgical PACs. I'd say first, once the product categories are grouped, begin to look at areas where there are high variation among the number of vendors supplying products within each of those categories. So continuing with the surgical blade example, right, you might have literally 8 or 9 different vendors within that category. I'd say next, you know, once you get to that point, we recommend as a team, seeing if you can streamline down to fewer vendors to reduce that variation. And once you do this, you can reach out to vendors to negotiate better network pricing for those items in your PACs. Now, for instance, if you're already part of a GPO, let's say, you may have three vendors on contract for a particular product type. With that knowledge, you can work with your pack vendor and distribution provider to drive more volume to fewer vendors.
You mentioned that it's important to gain buy-in from clinicians to make any pack standardization effort a success. What can a hospital or health system do to gain clinical support?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's really the crux of a successful and sustainable standardization effort. I'd say the most effective way to gain clinical support is to engage with physicians and make them part of the standardization process for day one, whether that's via one-on-one discussions or communicating with staff members who know them and their needs well. We see both of those approaches working pretty effectively. So while you have those conversations, it's important to dispel the myth that all supply variation is due to clinical preference. You know, really that can come off somewhat abrasive and I think challenging to the way in which a physician, you know, conducts their practice. You know, the recommendation we make is that product variation can develop over time, and it can be caused, yes, by clinical practice variation, but also by, you know, things like industry consolidation, contractual or equipment constraints, and other reasons. For what it's worth, we've seen that where there's a culture in which physicians are regularly involved in managing overall business results, then they're far more likely to embrace the standardization efforts. So that said, it's important to note that standardization initiatives don't necessarily require physicians to invest a lot of time in the transition. You know, for example, most standardization work can be delegated to surgical techs that are familiar with the surgeon's needs, let's say. But overall, I'd say most importantly, we often see that clinicians want to see the data-driven rationale for standardization, really the data behind why you're coming forward with recommendations. And from what we find, once they see that rationale, they can become important champions of change and even catalysts for it in some cases. So I'd say to sum it up, let data analytics objectively identify which pack components can be standardized and how common packs can be created for use across your system potentially. Validating your analysis with feedback and clinicians, as well as materials managers is important. And then, you know, I'd say align as a team on the engagement requirements to create a unified plan of attack.
So now you got started, but what can you do to sustain, manage, and improve your standardization efforts?
Yeah, I think this is really the key. And frankly, another reason that standardization efforts commonly fail over time. First and foremost, you need to regularly monitor your PAC program data. And that includes usage, cost savings initiatives, and standardization opportunities. And that can be really hard to do. You know, if you're a Cardinal Health customer, you can do that through our PAC Manager program that I mentioned before, which offers, you know, really 24/7 visibility into your PACs. But beyond that, you know, I'd also suggest conducting regular reviews with your PAC vendor rep who could identify changes and monitor PAC program you know, componentry pretty consistently. That way you can identify and address problems sooner and more proactively. And that allows you then during regular business reviews, your vendor can spot anomalies out of compliance areas and even help implement changes with various stakeholders. And really all those things can avoid scope creep, which is, you know, what can kill a standardization effort. So, you know, I'd say once you design and implemented your standardized packs, the results can really be a catalyst for the next step, speaking more futuristically, is even broader standardization efforts. So now that can mean, you know, a conversation around the variation in clinical practices that lead to inefficiency and higher costs. And, you know, really these conversations about clinical variation and standardizing clinical processes can certainly be more complex. But in the meantime, you can benefit right away from a reduction in supply variation, component savings and supply chain efficiencies by focusing on, you know, that component formulary as we talked about.
To end our discussion today, I'd love if you can walk through the best next steps. For hospitals and health systems ready to take the next step, what advice can you give?
You know, I'd say we definitely have a lot more information on our website, or if you're a Cardinal Health customer, simply ask your rep to help get you started. Really, one of the first things your rep will do is conduct a pack review to determine where your standardization opportunities are in the first place. Really, through pack reviews and regular account maintenance, our reps work with customers to analyze pack componentry, to standardize within product categories and across suppliers, or, you know, as we mentioned, even across procedures. So going forward, you know, I'd just like to summarize to say we're excited to continue applying data analytics and expertise really to help solve for our customers' important needs around reducing waste and driving efficiency. And that's all with the overriding goal of improving clinical practices at the end of the day.
Well, thank you, Matt, for your time and insight, and thanks to Cardinal Health for sponsoring our podcast. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email me at lvardarella@beckershealthcare.com, and please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.